Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. How's everybody doing? Beautiful. Beautiful Tuesday.
Yeah, a couple days in a row. This is fantastic.
It's Rop and Souk.
Well, spring starts tomorrow, right?
Yeah, that's, I think, officially, yeah.
Sada.
So, hey, the tournament has begun. The era has become.
Yes, the tournament has become.
The Masters is right around the corner. Opening day is next week. I mean, are you kidding me?
Game of Thrones.
Yes, I love this time of year, man.
Spring break? Oh. You don't have spring break anymore. You don't have kids, but.
No, but I have a kid in college, so spring break is a big deal. And I didn't tell you guys this, but I want to. And I'll do it here before we get to the Hot 5 at 5. So I told you that Meatball, who is now... following in my footsteps at the University of Kansas.
Rock Chalk.
He plays on the club baseball team there. And so he called us, this was maybe a month before spring break, and he said, hey, we're going to have a baseball tournament down in Florida for spring break. And we're like, great.
That's awesome.
And he said, it's in Panama City. And we're like, oh, all right. Have fun. Well, I told you before that I found out that he was in Tampa, and I'm like, what are you doing in Tampa? He's like, oh, playing baseball. I'm like, well, you said it was in Panama City. That's not in Tampa. He's like, oh, the tournament's in Tampa, and then we're going to party for a week in Panama City. I'm like, well, you didn't tell me that.
Just kind of left that part
you
out.
You said the whole week was a tournament.
Yes.
But it wasn't. He was like, two games in Tampa, and then it's like, party! Well, anyway, he got a speeding ticket. I told you that, in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just over the moon excited that there was no...
It was just regular old speeding.
Yeah, and there was no booze or weed or anything.
Nothing.
I'm like, holy crap, that's an upset. Not because he's a bad kid or anything, but because it's like, come on, college kids going down to party
sure.
for spring break.
Something's
going to
be in that car.
But he said they didn't even, first of all, he broke so many freaking, he is under, because like when you rent a car,
yeah.
they're renting a van.
Yeah, don't you have to be like over 25?
Yes. And I said, did they call you on that? He's like, nope, didn't say a word. I'm like, God, you're lucky. And then I said, well, did they search the car? Because I know what's going on in that car
sure.
or that van. And he's like, nope, didn't search the van. I'm so, like, holy crap, you are so lucky, dude.
Exactly. So what you're saying is there was things in the car. The cop just didn't look into it.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that blows me away that you would figure an officer of the law would see a bunch of college kids in a rented van and wouldn't immediately.
With a freshman driving.
Exactly. Wouldn't immediately think that something was up. You know,
right.
Well, good for that cop.
No
it's like,
kidding.
Whatever, here's your ticket, move on.
No kidding. He gets a notch towards his quota and everybody goes about their merry way. Well, anyway, meet. Then I get on the, I hear my wife raise voice downstairs one day, just the other day. And I'm like, oh boy, she's on the phone with somebody. I can hear her.
That's not good.
Yeah. And she comes upstairs. She's like, look at this. And there are photos and he's got a big ass shiner.
Oh.
Over his left eye.
Is Meat engaging in spring break fisticuffs?
That's my immediate thought was, oh, he got in a fight at spring break.
Is Meat a bro?
No, he's not. But look, I mean, all this is part and parcel with college.
Is he like, playing as if he's a bro?
What do you mean?
Like, is he putting on the bro face
no.
to fit in with the baseball team?
No.
And
so,
hence punching people?
He claims that this did not happen at spring break.
He fell down some steps or hit himself with a door.
He claims he fell and hit the coffee table in one of his friend's dorm rooms.
Yeah. No one's buying it, me. No one's buying it.
And I told him that. I said, look, I don't know what happened. I hope you're okay. Because he had to go get stitches.
Yeah.
But I said, we're going to get you a helmet. I'm going to send one in the mail. All right?
Get him a little,
handle
him,
your booze, okay?
Get him one of those Rip Hamilton face masks. It's like when Brian Greasy tripped at his house, right? He tripped on the dog.
But isn't this the beauty of college that, like, I don't want to know what really went on in Florida. No. And I also don't want to know how he got that. I got 9 stitches above his eye. I don't really care.
No.
As long as it doesn't come out of my pocket, you're paying for the ticket.
Yeah.
You little S head.
It's best for everyone. And then like 20 years down the road, it was only recently that everyone found out that my first tattoo was mushroom infused at Red Rocks, Colorado. That was just like people find out you got a tattoo. You're like, yeah, I got it at a parlor somewhere in Salt Lake. No one needs to know what you were doing when you got the shiner or you got the tattoo or you got the ticket.
The way I look at it.
You keep those details separate and then they're revealed at a much, much later date when we can all laugh about
it. And
them.
He's very good about totally lying, but kind of doing it so it's like we all agree, okay, let's just move on here.
You know I'm lying. I know I'm lying. But
I have to tell you this.
It's best for everyone if we just nod and go about
our
business.
It's like he's sworn in. He's like, okay, look, you know the routine here. So here's what happened. Wink, wink. Anyway.
Someone says it pays to be white and from Kansas.
Well, that's not even that funny because if those kids, 100%. Georgia, that whole thing, I totally understand where they're coming from. But what was I going to tell you?
I don't know. Something about meat and displaying his bro-like
tendencies.
I thought
the shiner was what you were telling us about.
Yeah, but I had something else I was going to tell you about it. But
there was a further point to it.
Anyway, he got stitches. But I just chalk it up as, hey, man, that's why college is great for a lot of different reasons.
You get to explore the studio space for the first time.
One of them is you get to kind of, explore the studio space is a good way to say it. And then we don't ask questions and you screw up and then you learn from those screw ups and then you go off in the real world.
Yes.
It's just the way it works. So I feel like he's getting his money's worth.
Real world or you're getting your money's worth?
Well, both.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's something good that's happening for him there, but
it's a win-win.
All right. Coming up, CJ McCollum speaks, albeit vaguely, about his knee injury. What else do we need to get to? Anything over there? You paying attention over there, Ron?
No, not really. This concerns all of us. Okay.
I know what I was going to tell you. We got to talk about that stat they showed on the Spurs game last night.
Oh, yeah.
The greatness of Greg Popovich.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about the greatness of the mediocrity of the Portland Trail Blazers.
That makes no sense. But the Blazers were on that graphic, yes, and we will talk about that. But it was mainly due to
Popovich.
It was talking about Greg Popovich, which we'll get to.
I was surprised, though, to see that that the Blazers popped up on that list.
I think everyone was.
Yeah. I also wonder, there is an NCAA story that I would like to talk about,
too. Oh, no. What happened?
Well, the eligibility thing, I think, is interesting. I think we're inching towards something in college football and college sports in general.
Sweet. Did you see that there's a basketball player who is refusing to play in the NIT because of his future? Kind of like, you know, how football players are sitting out bowl games?
Sure.
There, it's finally hit basketball where there's this kid at, I think he's at Arkansas or Alabama, one of the two.
He's like, NIT, no.
He's like, no thanks. No.
Well, good for him. No one wants to play in the gall darn NRT anyways.
So those items are coming up. The club from 6 to 7. In the club tonight, we have Bezos News. And do you remember MySpace?
I do remember MySpace.
Yeah, they never went away.
And
now they're in hot water.
And we had two things we didn't get to yesterday. We had cat news. Ooh. And what was the other thing? We had two things that we brought up right at the end of the program.
Oh, something from the 80s that is coming back.
Yes. Yes, we did not get
way.
To.
So, suddenly a lot to get to. Let's now do the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Number 5.
The Cowboys lost Randy Gregory to suspension, and they moved on from David Irving. So it means they need a pass rusher to complement DeMarcus Lawrence. And today they were reportedly in trade talks to get Dolphins defensive end Robert Quinn.
Yeah, the Dolphins are in full tank mode, and Quinn makes a bunch of money. So they're looking, instead of cutting him, they're looking to make a deal and try to get something back in return. Also, the Cowboys agreed. Remember, they lost Colt Beasley. They agreed to a one-year deal with Randall Cobb. About $5 million for the 1 year.
Cowboys also working out free agent safety Eric Berry. Unrelated, ESPN reportedly has offered its Monday Night Football broadcasting gig to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I haven't seen any interest that Peyton Manning has said that he wants to do this, but everyone seems to believe that he would be phenomenal, and they want him to do it.
Yeah, Jason Witten went on back to the Cowboys because he sucked at broadcasting, so, yeah. So now they need a guy.
Well, yeah, Booger, but if they're looking for a three-man team.
Name's Booger.
I think his name's Anthony. I played with Booger McFarland.
Did you?
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah, he was. He was real good. He just got overshadowed because he played along the Simeon Rice and Warren Sapp, who were phenomenal.
Guess who recently cut Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict is visiting with? That's right. The Raiders.
That makes sense.
It does.
He's only, I think, was he 28 years old?
It's a fit.
I mean, he's still young. He just hasn't played a full season because he keeps getting hurt and suspended. But at the right price tag, someone will roll the dice on him because when he's healthy and not being suspended, he's one of the best linebackers in the NFL.
Well, actually, Oakland defensive coordinator Paul Gunther was in Cincinnati when Burfict had his best seasons. The Raiders do have a gaping hole at linebacker. They're also flirting with Anton Tao and Aaron Lynch, who's most recently with the Bears.
And he is much better than both of those.
Mike Mayock is the Raiders GM. Interestingly enough, he once called Burfict undraftable when he was covering the draft for the NFL Network.
Well, they say that Burfict had the worst combine in NFL history for like a big-time player. Remember, he was all-world at Arizona State, went to the combine, was fat, ran like a 5.40, and had like blew off interviews. I mean, you couldn't have had a worse combine. And then he went on and had a very successful career in the NFL.
NCAA tournament is underway in Dayton, Ohio. 16 seeds Farley Dickinson and Prairie View A&M are currently playing. And it was a kind of a blowout in favor of Prairie View, but it's now 58-53 Prairie View. Just under 10 minutes left in the game.
And Farley Dickinson, my hometown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So if you want a rooting interest, Teaneck, New Jersey.
Well, Durden Sprague had had the head coach on from Farley Dickinson, and the guy was wonderful.
Was he?
Couldn't have
what
been
does
any
that
cooler.
Mean?
He was
a great interview.
He was a really, really good interview.
So we're pulling for, is it Farley? Farley Dickinson. That's
and
who we're pulling for.
A buddy of mine, Rick England, his daughter pitches for the Farley Dickinson softball team. So
who knew we had all these ties?
I know. Let's all get on board.
What's their mascot?
They're the Knights.
They're the Knights.
I love it. So what else? Okay, so the winner of that will get slaughtered by Gonzaga. Later tonight, 11 seeds Temple and Belmont will collide. Belmont is the first Ohio Valley team selected at large into the tournament in 32 years. Interesting note about Temple as well. Their coach, Fran Dunphy, is stepping down after the tournament. I think he's just old.
He's old.
But
he's had enough of this.
The winner of that one will get Maryland.
When does Arizona State play? That tomorrow?
That one's tomorrow. One other college coaching note. Phil Martelli was fired at St. Joseph's. Just 41 wins over the last three seasons, but he'd been there 23 years. Remember that undefeated team that they had? Was a number one seed or number two seed in the tournament. Made the Elite Eight, but didn't make the Final Four.
I do remember that squad.
They had What's His Nuts?
Was that Jameer Nelson?
Yes.
Was that the main guy on that squad?
Jameer Nelson and I think Delonte West might have been on that team. Patriots owner Robert Kraft offered a plea deal. In it, charges would be dropped, but he would have to admit that he would have been proven guilty at trial.
He has to agree to STD testing.
He would then have to complete diversion, which, yes, STD testing would be a part of that.
I just love Robert Kraft going into some health clinic, some free clinic, getting tested for the clap.
Number one. It is quite a...
Number one.
It's just a bit of a visual there.
If he completed diversion, no charges would show on his record. One key there is that the video evidence that the law enforcement has of him would be sealed forever.
And he has not, they haven't said whether or not they want to take this or not.
Yeah, we don't know. And number one, when Bryce Harper got 13 years, $330 million, the sports world collectively wondered, well, what will Mike Trout get? And the answer to that question is 30% more. Because the Angels locked up Trout to a 12-year extent today worth $430 million. It's the largest contract in pro sports history.
That's, not per year. That's still the soccer guys. But total value, 400-plus million. It's insane. But, you look at it, it's 36 per year. If Machado got 30, who would you rather have? Machado for 30 a year or Mike Trout for 36? Take Mike Trout at 36.
Well, obviously, Trout, I don't think that's a question. So, yeah, $36 million a year. He wasn't a free agent, so the Angels are just basically ripping up the final 2 years of his previous deal, and he'll start on this new contract. So in seven full seasons in Major League Baseball, Trout has won two MVPs. He's finished second in MVP voting four times and fourth in MVP voting once. His worst year, he finished fourth.
Yeah, well, he's had the number one WAR, I think, in baseball six out of the 7 years. I mean, look, he's the best player in baseball, and it's really not much of a debate.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. That's beer. Please drink responsibly. All right. CJ, you want to hear him talk about his knee?
Yeah. And then I want to ask you this. I want to bring up this NCAA eligibility waiver.
Those items next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, NCAA eligibility talk coming up here in a moment. But first, one of the big stories of the week and perhaps of the next, well, you know, 6 to 8 weeks is the knee of CJ McCollum.
What, did you see the game last night? They don't need him. Come on.
They look great.
The Blazers were great.
At least after, you know, like the first quarter. they looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, Dame was sensational.
Yeah. So they'll be fine in the regular season, but the question is, you know, can he help them in the postseason? So we don't really know much about what's going on with his knee. He did speak about it a little bit before last night's game, and I'm going to play that for you. Just to, if you didn't know what happened to him, he went down in the Spurs game on Friday. It's a popliteus strain, which is a ligament in the back of his knee.
Yeah, not to be confused with the pancreas or the pancia or any of the other random P words that we thought that may be.
And so they said, you know, they're going to reevaluate him next week. They said that again on the broadcast last night. Kevin Garnett had this back in the day and just couldn't recover from it in time and had to bag the playoffs.
Yep.
So they say it's, you know, a 3 to 6 week type of injury, and the playoffs start in about 3 weeks.
And they're going to reevaluate him after a week and kind of see the progress. But I mean, Dame came out and said that he is mentally prepared for CJ not to play the rest of the regular season. And
I think that's pretty clear.
I think that's the mentality is, look, we're not going to have him for the rest of the run. We're what, a game and a half up now on Oklahoma City and San Antonio. And so you just realize he's not going to be around, and you hope that you can get the best seed possible and that you can get him healthy for if you said that you could get him healthy for even game three of a first round series, I think you may take it at this point.
So here's what CJ had to say about his knee before last night's game.
Everybody's body is different. It's just about, you know, how fast the muscle can heal and how fast I can be comfortable playing on it.
Do you expect to come back in the regular season? Is that like a goal of yours?
I think my goal is to just come back when I'm healthy. I think the biggest thing is just being away from the team. You're removed from the team. You're not able to play. You're not able to practice. And the rehab phase is harder than actual, like, training to play. Longer days, longer hours. You know, you got constantly trying to elevate it, constantly trying to work the muscles around it. And you got conditioning, and there's lifting. There's just a lot more that goes into that side of things as opposed to me just showing up, working on my body, and playing.
CJ, what grade of strength and density do you have?
I'm not sure. I would imagine there's probably three or four, you know, versions of it. I think four is probably the worst, so hopefully mine's in the middle. But I didn't ask. I just asked what I had and how long they thought it was going to take. And yeah, basically, like, we'll reevaluate you, you know, bi-weekly, see how it goes from there.
Do you plan on going on the next trip?
That's something we'll talk about probably about 10 days from now. I think the next trip is with 28, 27.
It's next week.
So, yeah, that's something we'll talk about this time next week or whenever we're getting ready to leave and see where I'm at.
Is it something that you feel like right now? Like, can you always tell that it's there, or is it more when you...
I'm leaning up against the wall, so...
So it's a situation where it...
It's... Pain comes and goes, depending on what you're doing, you know, depending on what pills I'm taking at that moment in time. But certain movements, it's painful. It's hard to explain, but it's an uncomfortable feeling, like something is pulling the back of your leg.
So it's like it's pulling, that's where you feel it the most.
Okay.
Obviously, it's a different injury, and you're different people, but do you look at a guy like Mo and what he went through last year and what he's gone through this year as kind of
Yeah, I mean, you never want to rush back. Obviously, you want to get on the court as fast as possible. But one, you don't want to be a liability. You don't want to hurt the team. And two, you don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to set yourself back. Trying to come back too early and then hurt something worse. When you're dealing with a knee or you're dealing with something like that, the muscle is more about a time thing. And there's nothing I can physically do to make it heal faster besides eating properly, allowing my body to rest and recover and trying to strengthen some of the muscles around it. But the muscle's going to heal, you know, at its own rate. So it's a interesting dynamic, whereas Mo's was more, I think, the front of the knee, and then maybe something involved with actually being in the knee. Mine's an actual muscle, a small muscle that operates a lot of the basic movements of the knee. So I just have to be careful with you know, what I'm doing right now, you know, the first 3 to 5 days. And then I kind of open things up as we progress to the 7 to 10, 10 to 14 day period.
So there you go. Pretty vague, but I don't know. That last little comment there of, hey, just 3 to 5 days rest and then we'll get back out there. That's
I don't think he really knows.
No, I don't think anybody does.
Mean, just it's one of those things like.
But it's not one of those deals where, at least it doesn't sound like it's one of those deals where he is shut down
for 3 weeks now. And then. Try to get this going next week.
Well, the weird part about it is, and he kind of alluded to it, and just from reading, because I've never heard of this injury before, but there's you know, you can find different people online that have had this, and they talk about it, and it's interesting. They say that like you only feel it during certain things, and that was like kind of what the Kevin Garnett thing was, is like you may think you feel okay. Like, hey, this really isn't that bad. And then you go out and try to do something in a certain movement or whatever, it ends up, you're like, it's like, it's not a pain thing. He just says it doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel stable. So it could be just one of those weird kind of nagging things that could be frustrating for everyone. Cause it's like, oh, when's he coming back? Well, I don't know. He feels okay. But when he goes out and tries to do something, and that's why I thought the Mo Harkless thing was interesting, because that's what they kept saying about Mo, right? Like one day it feels okay, and then the next day you're like, huh, something's wrong again. Just couldn't quite get it back. So that's why, to me, you know, you just for the rest of the season, you don't expect him back. Just get that thing right, because that's the last thing you want is this in and out of the lineup or him playing at 70% and re-aggravating it, and as opposed to just trying to take this month. I mean, you're going to be in the playoffs, right? And even without him, they're going to be fine. I think they're sitting in the 4 seed, game and a half up. You know, whether you're the 3, 4, or 5, I'm not going to say it's irrelevant, but I think it's a lot more important to have CJ back and 100% healthy than what seed you are or say you have home court.
Yeah, right now the Rockets are 3rd. So Denver and Golden State are tied now because the Warriors lost to the Spurs last night. Warriors are playing again tonight in Minnesota, but Golden State, Denver tied atop the West. Houston is 3.5 back in the 3 spot. Blazers are 4, 4.5 back, so only 1 back at Houston. But then the Spurs, who've won 9 in a row, are only a game and a half back of the Blazers in the 5. They're tied with Oklahoma City right now.
Yeah, and then
Oklahoma City's lost 3 in a row.
And Utah's only a half a game back. So like I said,
so the Blazers are it's bunched up 3-7.
Yep.
Well, actually 3-8, really, because the Clippers are only a half game back at Utah.
Yeah. I mean, you're just talking about a couple games that separate everybody.
But I do think you really want to get home court, man. Yeah. You really got to try to get you want the 3, but
it's funny.
Not the 4.
Lynch was talking about this the other day. He brought it up, and I hadn't really paid any attention to this, because we hear all the time about Portland being a sub-500 team on the road. But outside of Golden State, who is 23-12 on the road, dude, everyone from 2-8 basically has the same road record. Denver is 7-16 on the road. Houston 8-16. Portland 7-18. San Antonio is 13-22.
You said Houston 8-16. You meant 18-16.
Or 17, 18, and 17 for those first 3.
Yeah. I mean, you're all right there. So it is interesting that, you know, will home court mean, is that the difference between getting out in the first round, you know, for Portland? Because every one of these teams is basically a 500 team on the road.
All right, coming up next, a little NCAA eligibility talk. Look at our Fairleigh Dickinson.
There you go.
Bison. They're winning.
The Knights.
The Knights.
Yeah, the Knights.
From Mike's hometown.
They're up 7 now. They were down like 15.
Yeah, they made a run here. People are going nuts.
They're going all the way. Watch out, Gonzaga.
I'm not so certain.
All right, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So if you're going to be out and about Thursday and Friday at this time of day looking for some place to watch the NCAA tournament and watch your bracket go straight to hell way too early, do it with us. We'll be out for Fan Madness Thursday and Friday at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill downtown. That's right in between Mary's and El Gaucho.
Yeah, you can decide at the end of the evening where you want to take the night.
Presented by Laurelwood Brewing Company, you can enter to win a 65-inch Sony LED 4K TV valued at $1,200, courtesy of Encore Audio Video. They, Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law, Nike Hoop Summit, are sponsors as well. So that's Fan Madness this Thursday and Friday. Live shows with Dirt and Sprague and us at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. Okay, NCAA eligibility talk.
Yes. So I saw today that Tate Martell, who was the Ohio State quarterback, so we got to rewind this a little bit. So Tate Martell was a 4- or 5-star recruit and ends up at Ohio State, loses out to Dwayne Haskins, so he's the backup. Justin Fields is a 5-star quarterback, goes to Georgia, isn't able to beat out Jacob Fromm, their starting quarterback. So Justin Fields decides that he doesn't want to sit another year. He wants to leave. So I guess he played both. He played baseball and football at Georgia. And apparently there was an incident where someone on the Georgia baseball team used a racial slur towards him. So he used that to petition the NCAA to be eligible immediately. Said doesn't want to sit out a year, wants to transfer, and he ends up going to Ohio State.
Wait, so because he was called a racial slur, he can play right away?
Yes.
Like that's in the rules?
So the NCAA changed their rules a couple years ago saying that you can now apply to be immediately eligible. It's a very vague term. I'll actually
like a hardship.
I'll find the language. It basically says that if there's circumstances, I'm paraphrasing, it's circumstances beyond the player's control that affect the student athlete's well-being or mental, you know, status.
Okay.
So he's claiming that this incident on the Georgia baseball team, and he wanted to play both. He can't do that anymore. Georgia doesn't feel good. So he wanted to transfer to Ohio State. Basically he wanted to play right away and he didn't want to sit behind Fromm at Georgia. I mean, that's all this was.
So, but he was called a racial slur. Or are they saying that he used that in order to be eligible right away?
Well, apparently that's what allegedly happened. I don't know if that ended up being proven or not, but that's what he said, that there was an incident on the baseball team. He was called a racial slur, and that's why he's leaving. But most people believe he's leaving because he wanted to play right away.
Okay.
So he decides that he's going to go to Ohio State, and he got granted immediate eligibility. Tate Martell was the quarterback in waiting with Haskins moving on to the NFL. And Tate Martell was the one that tweeted at basically Justin Fields saying, hey, good luck coming here and winning the starting job. I've been here. Why would I go anywhere? So he was tweeting about it, basically saying, I ain't going anywhere. I'm starting quarterback. Come get my job. Well, as soon as Justin Fields was granted immediate eligibility, Tate Martell puts himself into the transfer portal. And he wanted to transfer to Miami. And so he hired an attorney that basically used the Urban Meyer situation, the Zach Smith, basically just threw a bunch of stuff at the NCAA, and they agreed. And today they made Tate Martell eligible to play at Miami. And so you now have at least one, if not two kids that have basically been granted full eligibility right away because they didn't want to wait behind someone more talented than they are.
But doesn't the NCAA say that they're going to change that? They're not going to allow that?
So the NCAA...
Moving forward?
No, the NCAA, you are allowed to petition if there is extenuating circumstances.
No, I know that, but I thought they came out and said that they were going to take a look at that, at the loose kind of waiver guidelines. You know, I think they were going to try to tighten that up because they don't want, like, this sort of free agency type thing happening.
Well, they're saying that now this Tate Martell and the Justin Fields thing could lead to a absolute tidal wave because Tate Martell doesn't have a reason to be eligible right away other than he hired an attorney. And they're also saying that this mini...
Well, why did they grant him then?
Well, they're saying, I read their article today on, as you like to call it, 247 Sports.
Great.
Saying that there is this whole mini industry that has popped up now. There's lawyers that are specializing in just this, that are saying that if you hire an attorney that knows what he's doing, you can make a case to be eligible right away. So there's been 64 of these since the NCAA changed their rules to allow you to appeal to be eligible right away. 51 of them have been approved. And they're saying that keep an eye on this because this is at least with Justin Fields, there was an incident, right? He could say, yes, I got called a racial slur. I'm going to use that, right? Granted, it was after the fact, and we all know why you transferred, but at least there was something concrete you can hold on to. Dave Martell basically just said, I don't want to sit behind Justin Fields, and I don't want to compete against him, so I want to go play right away. I hired an attorney, and now I'm eligible. What's to stop the next kid from doing this? And a lot of people think that this will eventually lead to the NCAA just being like, all right, we can't stop this anymore. We're just going to have it where you can transfer without penalty.
See, I think it'll go the other way. Although you make a, like if lawyers are starting to poke holes in NCAA rules, which yep. is hilarious that that's only just now happening, and it wouldn't seem hard, but they're doing that. That, yes, that would mean that the NCAA can't really do anything about this.
Well, and are you going to get into a situation where if your dad has money and can hire an attorney, you're eligible to play right away, but if this kid's dad doesn't have money.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's true, but
it's a dicey thing.
I feel like it'll go the other way. I feel like the NCAA and all their infinite wisdom will take a look at these rules that lawyers are poking holes through, and they'll tidy them up. They'll change them. They can change every year.
Yeah.
They can change any rule they want. So what they'll do is all this, it's well and good now, and they have to let Tate Martell through because he's lawyered up and the lawyer has a good point, but they'll just go change that rule. They'll close the loophole. The NCAA does not want players, particularly high-profile quarterbacks, jumping around like this, like this whole free agency thing. They don't want that. They'll put a stop to that, guaranteed.
It is... It's getting harder and harder, though, for the NCAA to do the whole student-athlete thing and keeping the players underneath their thumbs. And if you've noticed, they've loosened this up a little bit by little bit by little bit because it's all in an effort to be like, no, look, we take care of the players. We just don't want to pay them.
It's definitely a delicate dance for them.
So this is the first case that people are saying of a kid basically just – not having a real reason, just being like, look, I'm leaving because of competition purposes and being granted eligibility. And it could be a watershed moment.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it could go either way. I can certainly see that. That'll be interesting to follow. All right, coming up next, the stat they showed last night in the Spurs-Warriors game about Popovich that actually is kind of interesting. I think it made a lot of Blazer fans kind of go, wait, what?
What?
So that's next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, The Fan Bracket is live at 1080thefan.com. That's our website. You may have been to the internet. Yes, we have our very own webpage. You can go there, and it's your chance to win over $2,500 in prizes from Encore Audio Video. Put in your picks. Mike and I made our selections today, and I don't know how he feels about his bracket, but we have the exact same Final Four, and I feel terrible about it.
Who do you got?
Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, and Michigan.
Really out on a limb there. 3-1s and a 2.
Exactly.
Really feeling adventurous.
Trying to play the odds.
I told you I hated it.
And also, I'm trying really hard not to pick as many upsets as I normally do. Because I always fall victim to, like, I like this 12 seed. This 13 seed's going to win. Oh, this 14. Yeah, I picked, like, 4.
You know, there's nothing worse than, like, let's say you pencil through, I don't know, Liberty or something. You know, because you saw Liberty and you're like, ooh.
Sure. Or you read on a website that someone thinks Liberty or Nevada is going to be a Final Four team.
And then Liberty pulls off an upset, and you feel so great. And then you get to the next one, and you had Liberty going through again, and then they lose by like 1. And you're like, F! I was so almost right.
Or when you, like, everyone's got to find the 12-5 upset, and like all the 12s win except for the one that you picked.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the point, is like, you can chase your tail. You know that a 12 is going to beat a 5, or, you know, more than likely, maybe a 13 or an 11, someone's going to have an upset. But you end up chasing your tail trying to find the one that's actually going to hit. Well, you're better off just, again, penciling through chalk.
Well, our Fairleigh Dickinson Bullhawks won tonight, and they are moving on.
Or the Knights.
To a matchup with 1-seed Gonzaga.
From Mike's hometown. Is it Teaneck?
Yeah. Teaneck, New Jersey.
Teaneck, New Jersey. How about that? Isn't that exciting for us?
How come you didn't go there, Mike? Not good enough to get in?
Because I didn't want to stay in my hometown.
See how it is.
Decent little point. Decent little point. Okay, so the Spurs have won 9 in a row. If you're not paying attention, they're all of a sudden looking pretty good. Because I remember we talked about this, but the last time the Spurs were through Portland, they looked horrible.
Yeah.
But they are now 42-29 and only a game and a half back of the Blazers for the fourth spot in the West.
And the most spurry thing ever. Just at the end of the year,
totally
they decided to get all good.
Yeah. And the they beat the Warriors last night, so the Warriors and Nuggets are now tied atop the West. But anyway, last night's game, they showed a little graphic. And it was worth bringing up in and of itself because it just shows the greatness of Greg Popovich. But the Blazers were on this graphic, too, and I think a lot of people kind of went, oh, and you feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, Blazers, what they were, was what, five teams on there?
There were five teams on there, and it was fewest days with a losing record since the 1997-1998 season. Fewest days.
Yes.
With a losing record. The Spurs were by far number one.
Yeah, outclassed everybody.
65 days. There have only been 65 days where Popovich and the Spurs have had a losing record since 1997.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Because second on that list is the Rockets, 1,007 days.
I know. It's like the Stockton assist record. You look down at number two, you're like, holy hell, no one's ever going to touch
that. Dude.
Well, they've been such a model of consistency from Robinson to Duncan.
I was going
to
say, he has never had a down moment in terms of his roster.
No.
So you could say that you could give them Terry Stotts over all those years, and you'd have the same number of days under 500 because you had Tim Duncan, David Robinson, straight to Kawhi Leonard to LaMarcus Aldridge to DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, it has not been a... there's never been a roster where you look around and say they don't have anything, but... I mean, he's still, you look at all the titles, they get four or five under Popovich.
Five.
They get five, yeah, because Duncan had five.
Because they got that last one.
Yeah, I mean, they've been amazing, and they have undergone some transformations. Yes, he always had the building blocks of whether it was Duncan or Robinson, but all the other pieces that have rolled through there, from Tony Parker to Ginobili to even some of the smaller guys that they always seem to pick up, and then, you know, making this transition to getting rid of Kawhi Leonard and bringing in DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. It's the model of consistency, but
he's amazing.
It's a model of consistency with NBA titles as opposed to the Rockets or the Blazers,
right,
which have been a model of consistency without the NBA titles.
Yeah. So the fewest days with a losing record, Spurs 65 since 97, Spurs 65, Rockets 1,007, then the Mavs at 1,027, then your Portland Trailblazers. Yep. At 1,044.
Well, you think about it, outside of a couple of the lean years, even like the Jailblazer years, they weren't bad, right? I mean, those were playoff teams.
I just remember, okay, so this is since 97. So that's about the time I started following them. I came a little later than that, but I remember the iterations of the team, and really the only true down period, was when they were transitioning before they got
Brandon Roy and Marcus.
And those guys, yeah. They were awful.
There were some of the Zach Randolph years where those were bad teams.
Yeah. But Blazers were 1,044, and then the Jazz were 1,101. So the Rockets, Mavs, Blazers, and Jazz have been the teams beside the Spurs with the fewest days with a losing record.
And, you know, it's interesting.
And yet you only have one title.
One title, and that's the Mavericks.
Isn't that funny?
Because the Rockets titles came, like, early 90s.
Right.
That was when Jordan retired. So that was 91-ish, maybe, 92 when the Rockets won. And then you had the Mavericks breakthrough a number of years ago when they beat the Heat. But other than that...
Well, it makes you feel good. I think as Blazer fans saw that, they were like, oh... Well, that's kind of nice because it just kind of puts in a nice little bow on something that is true about this franchise under Paul Allen, which is why, I mean, rest in peace. You just didn't want to see the team owned by anyone else, right? Like he made this team relevant consistently as any team in the NBA. Now they didn't get over the hump and they had their moments, but it's just, even though they haven't had a title since 1977. And they're not in a title window now with a transition with a wonderful player, in Damian Lillard. You can take some solace in knowing that they're just pretty damn good every year, and they have been since the 90s.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So
that's got
to
feel good.
You had just from the Clyde and the Terry teams that then kind of went into the team that lost to the Lakers in the finals, where you had the Rasheed Wallace and kind of those guys.
They were in the playoffs Every year during
that.
I
was going to say, was it like a...
Every year.
I'm trying to remember because they had a consecutive playoff streak. I want to say it was maybe...
It was like 25, 30, something like that.
20 plus years where they made the playoffs every single year.
I can look at it
here. There was a smooth transition, but you had... You made the finals with Drexler and those guys. You almost made the finals, again, with the whole, you know, game seven against the Lakers. But, I mean, you knocked on the doorstep a couple times. You just weren't able to get over that hump.
21. They went to the
21
playoffs.
straight years.
Because there was one year with Jack Ramsey where they didn't, or else they would have gone. There was one year where they didn't go to the playoffs. It was in 1982. Otherwise, they would have been to the playoffs 27 straight years, including the year they won the finals. From the 77 team all the way to 2003, they were in the playoffs every year but one. It's crazy.
It's an amazing run.
It is. Now, it's been a little dicey since the Mo Cheeks years.
Well, they haven't ever been anywhere near as good as either one of those teams, either the Clyde teams or the Rasheed Wallace teams.
But they did build a team that you think could maybe – at least with building blocks that could have gotten there with the Roy Aldridge-Oden thing.
Yeah,
it just fell apart due to injuries. So now they're going again, and this is where my complaints about Neil Olshey come in, and it's that I just don't think they've put enough around Damian Lillard at all.
Yeah.
Even this guy's unbelievable, this Lillard guy, but they just haven't done enough. But anyway, they're still good, and they're 16 games over 500 again this year. So they really have been consistently one of the better teams in the NBA just in terms of year in and year out. And that's something to hang your head on, even though you only have the one title and it was way back when.
Yeah.
So, we done here?
Yeah, I think we're good.
What if I told you I would take half of, like, you would not be on that list and you would have some really, really stinking bad years, but somewhere in there you want another title?
I think people would take it.
You'd take that?
I think people would.
Because there is a little bit of looking at that stat going, well, it's kind of like winning the JV game. You know, like you want titles. You're in this for titles. It's nice to be good every year, but at the same time, it's sort of a consolation prize.
The problem with the NBA is if you look through, there just isn't many champions. It's the same freaking teams year after year after year. And if you're not one of those three or four teams, then, you know, this is what you're playing for. You're just playing for, you know, being relevant and being a good franchise.
Well, I mean, the Pistons won several. Lakers, like, I'm trying to think of the one-offs. Like, how many one-offs there have been? Dallas would be a one-off.
Yeah. Dallas was a one-off. The Pistons were a one-off the second time around. You know, the first time with the Bad Boys, they
weren't.
I was
going to say, not with the, yeah.
Yeah, but they were a one-off with that Rip Hamilton group.
The Heat won a couple, Spurs, Warriors. I guess the Cavs were a one-off, technically.
Yeah, Cavs were a one-off.
They only got the one.
It helps when you have LeBron.
Yeah.
But there's not many one.
Also made it many. Multiple years though.
Yeah,
you're right. Then you get into the Bulls.
Yep.
Rockets, Lakers.
Well, yeah, it's very hard. The NBA is top heavy and has been for a long, long time.
Freaking Dallas, man.
Yeah,
they got that one title.
And that was because LeBron didn't show up in the finals.
All right, coming up next, it's the Club on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.